Today is Sunday, June 18th, 2017, and this...
Although we have no destination and we're going to be roaming around the country forever, there is one place we're going to stop at first, and that's Las Vegas, Nevada.
It's 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 604. Las Vegas!
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
You're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Honey, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby! Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you today?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm great. Happy Father's Day. Odd thing to wish a wife.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Michelle.
Oops. Are you enjoying your Father's Day so far? Have you been online? Have you noticed that it's Father's Day?
No, I hadn't seen anything about it. Nobody's posting anything.
This isn't working as well as when you keep a list of things that aggravate me.
Nope.
Darn. So you were mentioning before the show that there's a lot of Father's Day things online.
Just a few.
Yeah. I think it's it seems like it's a competition now between people wanting to show how much more they love their fathers than other people on Twitter or Facebook love their fathers. That's what this holiday has turned into now.
Yeah.
And similar holidays. Mm-hmm. It's all about me, me, me.
The best is when the father isn't even on Facebook.
Which is the case most of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The sad ones are when the father is no longer with us, too.
I know, but at that point, you can quit wishing them a happy Father's Day. You can love them in your heart still.
But then I kind of feel like...
We don't need a public acknowledgement.
But then I feel like everybody else is rubbing it in a little bit. Not...
Oh, interesting.
Not on purpose, but that's got to be hard.
I'm sure it is. Okay, anyway, let's move on to Las Vegas stuff.
Okay.
I don't know why we went down that road other than me trying to get you aggravated right all the way to start the show.
Oh, no, I got my aggravation out before we started the show.
Oh, well, okay. Well, then I guess
I'll
have to find something to get aggravated about instead. But I'm not going to get aggravated about the fact that this podcast is supported by 200-plus listener patrons. They are awesome. And they include Willie Bauer, Jeremy Taylor, Paul Brian Higgins, Dane, I'm going to mess up your name, Dane. Dane, what? Can you do this one?
No.
Dane, there's a lot of letters in this name. Woj.
Wojciechowski?
Okay, let's do that. We're just going to call him D-Dubs.
All right.
Thanks, Dane. Terry Corbin, Don and Francesca Stewart, KJ Wheeler, Ryan. Oh, there's another one.
Nematolahi.
I was going to say, not going to try to pronounce his name. Dalen Davies and Bill Hargis. Thank you all very much. We do appreciate your support of the podcast.
I'm very empathetic today. So I'm as you're reading through these names, I think, oh, gosh.
Oh, I know.
What happens when people are at a doctor's office or some public place and it's like a constant struggle for people to pronounce their names?
There has been a certain pride expressed on the Facebook group by people who have their names butchered by me, though.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and on Facebook, too. Or on Twitter, too. So I've had feedback that there's a certain appreciation for that. Mm-hmm. Last week, I got Kevin and Chris.
Uh-huh.
And I got Chris's name very wrong, apparently. But he liked that I classed it up. So I try. All right. Thank you all for your support. If you're wondering what this is about, you can go to patreon.com/500. You can support the show on an ongoing basis, and you get bonus content. And in fact, I just there's been some stuff. I put up a new column today. We're going to do our first quarterly Patreon chat with our $10 and up level. So for people who are at that level, keep an eye on you should be getting notifications when I post stuff. But just in case you don't, you will get an email from the chat service, a chat software company that I'm using, that an account was created for you. It just means that I sent an invitation so you can join us next weekend, and you'll have all the details on Patreon, if you keep an eye on that. So we're going to do that next weekend. And then we're starting a new recurring feature again for the $10 and up folks that we're going to, it's going to be a new audio, kind of almost a mini podcast. We're going to do every 2 weeks. It's going to be very short. Mm-hmm. And we're going to record at least one or two of those today. And they're going to come out every, well, it's going to be every 2 weeks on Tuesday or Wednesday. I haven't decided which day yet. First one will be this week. So keep an eye out for that. That's going to be a lot of fun too. So more bonus content is shaping up, and we'd love to have you support the show if you're not already at patreon.com/5hundy. All right. I turned down an advertiser this week. I'm like, I don't need them. We have listener sponsors. Mm-hmm. They're much better than shifty offshore gambling outfits. So there you go. We've got some news, Las Vegas news to talk about, and then we've got some phone calls as well. So let's jump into what's going on in Vegas. Tourist wise, Stratosphere sold this week. Thoughts?
Yeah. Yay.
A company called Golden Entertainment owns a chain of Las Vegas pubs called PT's. They're all over the city, and they have bought the company that owns Stratosphere and the Arizona Charlie's casinos, also in Las Vegas, from the current owner, American Casino Entertainment Properties. So there's not a lot to say about it. I don't really know a lot about Golden Entertainment other than that they own these pubs. You know, this is a these are major casinos. They're not like pubs with a handful of machines at the bar. So it's a little bit bigger deal. No idea what to expect as far as changes. But as always with ownership changes, something will likely change at Stratosphere. Mm-hmm. If there's something you really enjoy there, you might want to check it out now, because I'm sure there will be some restaurant changes and things like that after they take over ownership, which will likely take a few months. I wouldn't anticipate like the rides going away or anything like that.
I have
a
feeling they're going to keep the tower.
Yeah, the tower.
Just a hunch.
That is probably a good guess. That's smart. That would be the one thing that is probably sure to stay. Yeah. Can you imagine like if Stratosphere didn't have the tower?
Oh, God.
There would be absolutely no... Well, there'd be very little, even less reason to go there. Mm-hmm. And even with the tower, once you see it once or twice, it's kind of just there. Good value if you don't mind staying at that end of the strip. Mm-hmm. You can get a good rate, room rate. But so there you have it. Ownership change. It's much like at SLS, you know, just across the street. Like, okay, we'll see what happens. There's not a lot to say. It would be a different scenario if it got bought out by one of the major MGMs or Caesars. But so that's the scoop with Stratosphere. We have a little bit more information on the timeline for the Las Vegas Club block demolition and redevelopment. If you've been wondering about that, and I know many people have, there was a Review Journal interview with Derek Stevens a few days ago, and he did confirm that the entire block is coming down. There's been some speculation that maybe one of the towers would remain and they'd build around it. That is not the case. Going to level the whole block, start from scratch. I think that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. No constraints when building the new place.
Yep.
And we've seen plenty of hotels and or Las Vegas resorts that have been built around existing pieces.
Yeah, Cromwell, SLS.
There's that. And they do a fine job. Mm-hmm. But again, SLS is a good example where a lot of the rooms are very small.
Yeah.
And they have a funky design as a result. And it's like, well, it seems like it would be better if they just started from scratch and didn't have to do all these kind of crazy, weird design elements to make it work. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a good move. I like to see this. I'm really curious to see what comes about. He did mention in the article that certainly there are some amenities that are underrepresented in downtown Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. Didn't go into specifics, but there have been a number of references to such things, and I would guess we're going to see this property go head-to-head with Golden Nugget as far as a more upscale downtown property. The demolition timeline is 7 months, and it has started. It began with the removal of the Vegas Vicky neon sign a few days ago, and over the next several months we'll see bit by bit those buildings coming down, including... So it's the two hotel towers, the parking ramp, the old Granite Gaming building, which is a small building behind Mermaids. Mm-hmm. That's an office, a little one-story office building. And then, of course, the Mermaids Glitter Gulch buildings as well. So that will be happening. And then construction is planned to start the first quarter of 2018, and it will take 2 to 3 years to put up the new place. So it's going to be a while.
Yeah.
But it'll be fun to watch a new place going up nonetheless. I'm anxious for something new downtown. There hasn't been a truly new hotel in ages. So,
Cool. Well, when you were talking about constraints, they had to do that with the
Downtown
D.
Grand, the D,
Golden Gate
renovations, yeah. Even though that wasn't a new hotel.
Yeah.
So
I think he's very familiar with having to deal with existing footprints and such.
Yeah, I know at the D there were a lot of things. That was what took so long as far as getting the elevators, improved elevators, because they were stuck with an old elevator system, and there's just a lot to deal with. But Downtown Grand is another great example. You walk into some of those rooms and the design of them, they're nice, but there's just some little weird, like the hallway to nowhere in there.
Yes.
There are some weird design elements in some of the rooms, and it's like, why is this ledge here? It doesn't make a sense for a ledge to be here. And again, just it made sense in the old rooms, but so there you go, all new stuff. Speaking of new stuff, there is a new lounge at Wynn Las Vegas. It is called Terrace Lounge. It's located near the registration desk, and it has they promote on the website that it has a very lovely view of the hot air balloon floral display. So
lovely.
Like any good lounge, they serve booze. But the other noteworthy thing about this place is that in the afternoon they have full tea service.
Ooh.
So if you're into that, you have another option in addition to Petrosian and
I think Mandarin.
Mandarin Oriental.
Yeah.
I don't know if there are any others at this point or not, but those are the two that come to mind. So if you want to go have dainty tea along with tiny sandwiches and scones,
yes,
you can do so at Wynn now from noon to four.
It is delicious.
Details. It's a one-time thing
for me. It's kind of weird to do in Vegas, but I like the...
It was fun to do it in London.
Very fun.
We did it in Vegas once at Petrosian, and it was fine, but
It felt a little out of... I don't know. It felt a little out of time.
I hear you.
Like, it didn't fit with...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to do a different...
But there are a lot of people who really are into it. Like, that's their... That's something that they like to do every time, and that's an escape for them.
Right.
So
that's what I was going to say. If you're doing a trip that's more of a relaxation trip, where it's built around going to the spa, and this would fit in perfectly with that, just a relaxing. And for that, I haven't seen this new place, this new lounge, obviously. I would probably, if someone were to say, look, I'm doing this like a relaxation trip, we're going to do a spa and maybe some shopping and things like that, not really casino-oriented, I'd probably say go Mandarin Oriental, just because it's not on the casino floor. Petrosian was lovely, but it's right on the casino floor, and you're right, it doesn't feel like there's a disconnect.
I wonder if there are any options, or if anyone's thought of doing a mashup of tea and booze, like having.
They tried that at Vesper and nobody ordered it, so they got rid of it. It was called the Botanist.
Right, but I mean, like you need. You need nourishment when you're imbibing, otherwise.
Oh, so like lounge, like small sandwiches for people who are boozing?
Something like that. Or like, yeah, like a special menu where you have like sandwiches and special drinks and stuff. I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about, but.
So are you, I want to probe this further. So we
Do
have,
you know?
We have, so tea food is tiny sandwiches and scones and shit like that, little pastries.
Yeah.
Wine food is little precious bits of meat and cheese on served on a wooden board. So are you suggesting we need cocktail food? Something specific?
Well, we've got the like pretzels and
nuts. No, that's beer. I think that's
is more of a beer thing.
Yeah.
But there are some bars, they set out the little...
Sure, like at Aria.
Or Wynn.
I like bar. I'm a fan of bar snacks.
Yes. But maybe
something a little bit more substantial.
Yes.
Cold pizza.
Cold pizza. in the morning when you're
cold pizza is good anytime. Any time of the day is good for cold pizza. All right. Well, if you come up with any ideas as far as specific food types, that would be perfect for drinking with cocktails or eating with cocktails. That would fit this. At any time throughout this show or any other, chime in. I'd love to know specifics. But I like the idea. I like what you're saying.
Yeah, because you hit a certain point.
Like a meatball?
Like a meatball.
Just a big meatball.
I think the problem is, like, you start out and you want something fancy, but a few cocktails in, you're just like, give me all the food.
You have a bowl of Cheetos?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right.
Your taste buds aren't as discerning as...
Okay, they're already serving
this. So maybe
this.
That concept won't work is what I'm saying.
I don't know. They're already serving sandwiches and stuff as part of the tea service, so I don't see why they couldn't just serve that with your cocktail instead, but I'm sure that they're not.
Yeah.
I suppose you could just disregard the tea.
And then order, like...
Yes. Yeah. I'd like your tea service along with a bottle of bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Also at Wynn Las Vegas, there is an extension for the John Fogerty residency show. Additional dates have been announced in September, October, and January. That show has been getting really, really good reviews from listeners who have seen it. And I'm happy to see that has been extended.
Yes. Okay. One more quick thing on the tea.
Bring it back.
Maybe that's when you build your base. Like you have a special, because a lot of the tea things have absorptive. Is that a word? Qualities.
Like, sure.
You want some carbs. You want some stuff to soak up the alcohol.
Okay. So like sliders?
No.
No.
But I don't know what I'm saying. But like you don't want to go drinking on an empty stomach.
Gigantic pretzel.
So let's say you forgot lunch, and this concept isn't working. As I'm talking through
wraps.
It is not working.
Mini tacos? I'm just throwing ideas out here. All right.
Okay. Let's move on.
Moving on from the John Fogerty residency. An additional show extension at Planet Hollywood, as Backstreet Boys have announced additional dates in November and February. Based on things that I've been reading, including interviews with the band, not that I spend a lot of time on Backstreet Boys websites. Now it sounds like I do, but I don't know. On Billboard.com, there was an interview with one of the guys in the group. But based on some of the things he said, I would expect ongoing extensions of this show for as long as it's making money. They seem to be thoroughly enjoying the concept of being in one place for a while and still being able to do the road stuff if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be working for them. And the show has received very good reviews, both from us and from others who have seen it. And I think, they're planning on making some changes to the show as well, which is probably a good idea because repeat customers. So
yeah, I saw this incarnation and now I want to see the next version.
I don't know that I'd necessarily be inclined to go see it again because there are so many other options, even though we did enjoy it.
We did.
But for diehard fans, yeah, they'll go back. So November and February, Backstreet Boys dates at Planet Hollywood. There's a new magic show at Tropicana. They keep trying with the magic shows down there. I don't know why they're so hooked on doing a magic show.
Mm-hmm. It keeps reminding me of the sad tiger that they kept outside for a long time.
Well, they had that was the Rick Thomas deal, but the more recent run has involved the guy that got arrested for kiddie porn.
Yes.
And then they had a show that came in after that it was supposed to be like an all-star magic thing, and it lasted like a very short time. And now they've announced David Goldrake Imaginarium opening June 27th. Based on the description, it's all that mystical bullshit that always gets tied to magic shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here, I'm going to show you what card you guessed while there's some flash pots going in the background. And I don't get all the mystical tie-in. It's like you bought a book or a video, learned magic, got really good at it. You're doing the same trick as every other magician. It's the fucking dark arts that are powering your show that's going to last for 37 days. There are bets going on in the Facebook group. No money is being exchanged, but just informal bets regarding an over-under set by listener Donnie Mack on 30 days as far as how long the show is going to last. I'm going with over slightly.
Yeah.
Which I think DJ was the first one to chime in. He said over, but not by much. I think that's an accurate. Yeah. So let's say August 4th. That show's going to end. So if you're really into magic and you want to go see David Goldrake, 7 p.m. on Tuesday through Saturday with a 4 p.m. matinee show through August 12th, if it lasts that long. Tickets are $50 and up plus fees. There you go. Oh, one of these days, Tropicana is going to find something that works in that showroom, but I just don't think there's that as big of a demand as there used to be for magic.
No.
We've got Chris Angel hanging in there. We've got Penn and Teller, but there's this very different angle on magic. But a lot of the magic shows just haven't lasted, the major ones. There are still some of the smaller theaters that have had some success with it, I guess. But I don't know. Tropicana's lounge seems cursed. Maybe he can come in with his dark arts.
And uncurse it.
Yes. All right, there's a new show. Oh, I was going to play the rumor watch thing, but I don't have it queued up. So this is kind of a rumor, but I'm giving it a pretty good chance. Robin Leach is reporting a new show from the people behind Absinthe is coming to Bally's. It's going to be called Misbehave. The format is a TV game show with a host named Miss Behave. And she is in charge of all the madness. So I don't know what it's going to be. I'm guessing some sort of a variety gong show kind of thing based on the description here, with a lot of the usual craziness that we have in Absinthe and had in...
Is this going to be more of a show, or will there be more audience participation?
I don't know.
I mean, they have a little bit in Absinthe, right?
Yeah.
Because I still haven't seen
it. And there was a little bit in Vegas Nocturne as well, when we saw that at Cosmo during its short-lived run. So I would imagine there'll be some of that, but as far as how much, I have no idea. It has not officially been announced. So once it is, assuming this happens, there will certainly be more details on that. It's in a very small space, so that does worry me as far as the chances of being pulled onto the stage if you are an audience member.
Yeah.
They're not using the Jubilee room for this, the Jubilee showroom. This is going to be, if the report is accurate, it's going to be in the Liaison space, which is, it was a short-lived nightclub, former Diamond Lounge space years ago, over by the restaurants and just behind the Indigo Lounge. Supposedly, it's starting at the end of this month or early next month. I'm putting a 75% likelihood on this rumor, but I think the timing is probably off. I have a feeling it's more likely to be sometime next month rather than early this month, just or late this month, just because there hasn't been any official announcement yet. And it sounds like it would be something they'd want to promote a little bit before just opening the doors. But time will tell. We'll keep an eye on that one. People love Absinthe, of course, and the Vegas Nocturne show is really good. So I would imagine it will find success if they can, if it actually happens. I mentioned Jubilee Theater. That remains pretty much unused and is the biggest waste of great showroom space in the city at this point, I think. It'd be really nice if they got something in there, even if it was...
A magic show?
Even if it was a magic show. Something. Something needs to go in there. That's
a
really
great space.
Cool old showroom. And you would think they'd be able to find... It's a big enough space. You would think they'd be able to do a resident musician.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how many people they can squeeze in there, but it's pretty big. I don't know. I hope they find something to do with it. I hope they don't just get rid of it. That would suck, or have it sit empty for years and years.
All right, they need to take what they're doing at Flamingo and do something parallel there.
That's a pretty good comparison in terms of the type of showroom it is. Yeah. I don't know. I think the Flamingo showroom is a four-wall deal where they're pretty much leasing the space to those performers, and they do a certain amount of promotion, but a lot of it is left up to the performers. I read an interview recently with George Wallace, and he said he would never do a deal like that again because it was so much work for the amount that he had to promote that show. He was there for quite a few years, but he did a ton of work constantly to sell tickets. And I remember we saw him standing out on the strip one night talking to people. He was doing whatever it took to get people in the door.
Yeah.
But a lot of performers, you know, they're not willing to put in that much work, and advertising is very expensive. So it seems to be working for the acts that they've had in there lately. But I don't know. Maybe they'll figure something out at Bally's too. All right, final news item. There's a new downtown Las Vegas breakfast and light lunch option from the people who run Donut Bar. According to DTLV, this new place just opened. It is a smoothie bar called Smooth Eats. It's located in the same building as Donut Bar. And
Smooth Eats?
Hmm?
Smooth Eats?
It's two words, so.
Oh, okay.
But I suppose you could say Smooth Eats. But that kind of makes it sound like it's a combination of a smoothie and food. Because smoothie's not really food.
Unless you put kale in there.
I'm sure that they have a kale smoothie of some sort.
You want to go get one?
Right now? Yes, let's go to Las Vegas and get a kale smoothie.
Next time we're there.
I'm not having a kale smoothie. I'm not as opposed to kale as I used to be, but I'm not going out of my way to seek it out in the form of a liquid.
Okay.
All right, so this place, they also serve paninis and a variety of toasts, which are all the rage.
Let's talk about
toasts.
Everybody
loves toasts, so they have... What is your question regarding toasts?
What are your feelings about toasts?
Delicious.
Mm-hmm.
But the word that I've been using a lot lately, a little precious.
A little
Yeah, little fresh. Let's, you know, do we need dainty pieces of toasted bread with avocado on them? It seems like it would be another wine drinker food.
Mm-hmm.
Along with their bits of cheese and...
and meat.
Their glorified Lunchables. yeah, they're fine. I don't know. This is... it's fine.
I think you got your crankiness about this...
the magic show?
...out earlier.
About the toasts?
Yeah.
I don't know. I like... they're delicious, and yet they kind of annoy me.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. They also serve some prepackaged lunch items like pasta salads. As I mentioned, same building as Donut Bar and Carson Kitchen, right on Carson and 6th near El Cortez, one block off Fremont Street. Easy to find. So if you're looking for a light breakfast or lunch option, this might be worth checking out.
Definitely.
8 a.m. to 6 p.m. daily. And they have a website, but I don't recall what it is. It's like, I think it's, I don't even remember what it is, but it's, there's nothing on it yet. They haven't fully formed it. So I wanted to take a look at the full menu, and they did not. It had like item one, description of item one, item two. They haven't quite filled out the website yet. So it might be worth checking out. I don't know. I think they're used to it. Wasn't there a smoothie place in there before? One that was owned by Downtown Project? I feel like maybe there was some kind of a short-lived
smoothie place.
Some kind of healthy eating option. Yeah. Or vegan place or something.
It wasn't... it wasn't the vegan place that's over by Eat, but there was, I want to say there was a smoothie place.
Yeah. There's been so much turnover among those restaurants, but it seems like now we've got a nice little wave of new things coming in. We've got this place, and of course, Donut Bar has been open a while. We've got the new Mediterranean place, which I think either just opened or is opening in the next week or so. I think that's in the Zydeco Po' Boy space.
Is that vegan place still open? Not that would. Vagination?
Vagination.
Uh huh.
I can't recall. Again, there's been so many closings.
Yeah, there's been so much turnover.
I think
in that block.
I feel like that might have closed, but Glutton is still open, maybe. I apologize. We're giving completely false information here, but you can search online to see if they're open or not.
I thought Glutton closed.
Maybe Glutton closed and Vegination is still open. Yeah. I get those two mixed up for some reason.
I'm pretty sure Glutton's the one that closed.
Okay.
The sushi place survives, however.
Yes, Bocho is still open, or Bocho, whatever it is. Anyway. So if you want a smoothie, you can get one block off of Fremont. A little slightly healthier option than Donut Bar. Both equally delicious, I'm sure. Okay. Should we move on to some phone calls?
Sure.
All right.
Hey, Michelle. Chris from Santa Cruz. It's been a while since I've called in. It's also been a while since I came into the city. Good to talk to you guys again. Congratulations. It's 100.
Thank you.
Just going to call in with a few updates during this trip. A quick impromptu trip booked for 2 days. Normally I stay at Mandarin Oriental. This time I'm trying the Cosmopolitan. So I will be giving random thoughts about the Cosmopolitan and kind of the vibe here on a midweek and what I think of the place. Hope to go to Mobile Fuku later and then hope to see some sites and give reports on that as well. First Cosmo update. Room is nice. I've got a terrace studio and I'm on the 63rd floor directly across from Planet Hollywood. And my first bit of feedback is, these are the weakest showers I have ever been under. Of course, the water has to come up 63 floors, but dang, man, it's like standing under a crying kitten. Thanks, bye.
I don't remember having a room at Cosmo with bad water pressure.
I don't either.
So maybe it is the height
or
the time. Sometimes there'll be, if a lot of people are using it, sometimes the water pressure is a little lower. All right. We will hear more from Chris shortly with more detailed reviews of his stay. So stick around for that. In the meantime, let's hear some show reviews.
This is Carr from Hawaii with a trip report. I just got back from my trip last week. And day one, I saw Matt Hammer. It was a pretty good show. Just a heads up, he likes to insult the audience. So if you're not comfortable with him insulting you, then don't go. But other than that, it's a pretty good show. I honestly just went because it was cheap, but it was well worth it. Day two, I saw J-Lo, but before I went to see J-Lo, I went in the high roller, and I went and did the happy hour just because I thought I would get bored if I didn't drink, and I got shit-faced drunk, probably about 11 drinks or so, and by the time I got to the show, I was a little bit sobering up, but then I had another drink, and the show was kind of... I don't know if it was because I was wasted or not, but it had all these like LED lights and crazy like light effects on the stage and stuff. And so it kind of felt weird being drunk and seeing that, like I was on Molly or LSD or something like that. But other than that, the show was okay. There was a couple parts where it was obvious that J-Lo was lip singing, but I didn't really care one way or the other about that, because I mean, like, I would still see Britney Spears, even though it's obvious that Britney Spears lip syncs.
I'd be kind of surprised if there were parts of the show where she wasn't lip syncing.
Yeah.
Does J-Lo sing?
Yeah. More than Britney, but I think that's another show that's focused more on the visual, like the dancing and the lighting. And
yeah. Okay.
But, so that was that. And then day three, I saw Carrot Top at the last minute. Like, I didn't have tickets or anything. I just decided to buy them at the last minute.
Also lip syncing.
And I bought a VIP, got to meet him. He was, like, the nicest person you can think of. And he lets you take as many photos as you want, lets you get as many autographs as you want. And then when I went to go get seated, the usher noticed that I had the VIP and asked me if I wanted to sit up front instead. So I was able to upgrade my seats for free, which is not included in the VIP, but there's something that they do, like if they have a seat available at the last second. Day four, I just gambled, which I'll talk about in my next call. Day five, I saw Celine Dion, and this is the second time seeing her. And the first time had like holograms and stuff like that, and this one didn't have any holograms, but other than that, the show was pretty good. I was kind of in a bad mood because of a really bad decision I made earlier that day, but I'll get to that in my next call. So that's about it, and I'll call you again and let you know how I did in gambling, which, like I just mentioned, I kind of made one bad call with gambling-wise. But all right. Talk to you later. Aloha.
All right. Thanks for your report. Good to get show reviews. Haven't heard a lot about J-Lo, so I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Carrot Top has consistently received reviews, very positive reviews, and everyone's a little surprised by how much they enjoy themselves. And yeah, that's the show that I long ago would have never thought of going to see. And now, just based on the number of people who've said it's surprisingly great, I would consider going to see Carrot Top.
You have a picture with Carrot Top.
I do. We were nose to nose, like we were going to throw down. He was a lovely person when we met him as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next up.
Kevin and Michelle, just calling with a quick mid-trip report. Maybe you can hear I'm walking by wind. I wanted to mention that the kind of ghetto version of the Bellagio fountain show they got here at Wynn now is pretty lame and desperate looking to me. Like, it's just looks like a pale shadow of what's going on down the strip. Trips off to a good start. They gave me a great room at Encore. Encore and Wynn do this thing where they send you a promotion ahead of time, giving you a chance to kind of register to win an upgrade for your room. So I got upgraded to a nicer kind of baby suite at Encore for like an extra $20 a night. So that turned out to be a good deal because I'm up on the 61st floor. It's not really the 61st floor because they don't have 40s, but it's still way high up there at Encore. And I look south down the strip. I can see everything. It's pretty cool view. It's weird being way so north and kind of away from the action. I'm usually down mid strip, but, it's a beautiful, luxurious property. I can't argue with that. So far for, for the room also, it's a cool room up there on the 61st floor of Encore. Very automated. They got these little panels, electronic panels that control lights and blinds and music and everything. And you can have different adjustments for everything. The bathroom is beautiful, separate tub, big shower. It's a beautiful, beautiful room. I haven't stayed at Wynn since before they even had Encore built here. And it's still just really a lovely experience. For food, I went to Mizumi at Wynn last night, which is the Japanese place, sushi place in Wynn, and I got an omakase, which is where the chef decides for you what to have. It was amazing. It's expensive, but it's such a beautiful place. The view of the little lake and the cliffs and the waterfall, and the fish is incredibly fresh and good. So that was really great. And I got a little midnight snack from Sinatra's, which was pretty awesome too. Meatballs and antipasti. Yum. All right, that's all for now. Thanks for all you do. I'll call in with some more deets later in the trip.
All right, thank you. That was Scott from Boston, by the way. He forgot to mention during that call who it was. Appreciate the review. Glad you're having a good time at Encore. It's always nice when you check out a hotel you haven't stayed at before and are dazzled by it.
Mm-hmm.
I am a sucker for techie rooms like that.
Yeah.
Where we had quite a bit of that in our super suite at Cosmo. And like every room has the panel on the wall and mm-hmm. you get to play with it and make the lights do cool things and whatnot. I don't know why I'm such a sucker for that, but I like the techie.
You
hotel
love
rooms.
Technology.
I do love technology. It's great fun. All right. Let's check in with Chris again.
Quick, right to the point. Cosmo versus Mandarin Oriental flight. I've always stayed in Mandarin Oriental. It's really nice. I really like it's the quietness of it, the 5-star level service you get. Some of the staff there, I regularly get the house car. It's really, really pleasant to have an oasis of quiet to come back to. However, as was rightly pointed out by Mikey several years ago, it's just missing all of the energy you would expect with a casino. And so this time I stayed at Cosmopolitan, got a chance to explore the room a little bit more. I have a terrace studio. It has a Japanese soap and tub, excellent. I have a view at a terrace, which has been nice on the early mornings before it gets too hot just to hang out. And most importantly, the casino just has a much more partier vibe. It has a murderer's row of restaurants, and it's really quite nice to see Vegas downstairs in full bore, in kind of a more modern Vegas, and still have a really nice hotel room on top. So I'm really torn. I'm going to have to stay here more often. That's the Chris from Santa Cruz endorsement on this hotel. So if you haven't tried out Cosmo, please do. I think that it's a really great place. I'll call later with a review of Momofuku.
All right. Thank you for that comparison to Mandarin Oriental.
Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping the shower pressure improved.
That too. Yeah. You know, Cosmo, I think the casino vibe turns some people off.
Uh-huh.
Especially if they are there at night when it's a more nightclubby environment. Mm-hmm. But I'm with Chris on this, even though it's not necessarily the nightclubby thing isn't necessarily my scene.
You love getting off the elevator and stepping in a casino.
Yeah, I do. And I like the Cosmo Casino a lot. I've said it so many times, but I just really like that property a mm-hmm. lot. I always have fun there. Not for everybody, but for some reason. And I wouldn't expect, if you would describe the property to me and said, yeah. Oh, it's kind of a little bit upscale, it's got kind of a nightclub vibe, I'd be like, eh.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's for me, but for some reason, I'm always very comfortable there, and I always mm-hmm. enjoy myself there.
So. We're drawn to it like a magnet.
I know. It's weird. All right. Next up.
Hey, this is Michael from California with my first ever call. The trip report, we had two free nights at the Aria. Me and my wife went. We each had a free night with My Vegas. I followed that up with one night at Cosmo. Aria was really nice. First time staying there. Room was great. And enjoyed the pool a lot. Looking at photos online. Kind of looked a little boring with just some oval-shaped pools. But once you're in there, it's very nice with all the trees. Moving on to the Cosmo. Got the Terrace Studio Fountain View. Really wanted the Boulevard Tower and told them I would be willing to wait till later in the afternoon if one wasn't ready when I checked in. And they still wanted to put me in the other tower, but I asked again, and they double-checked again, and were able to get me up on a high floor in the Boulevard Tower, so that was nice. Some restaurants. We hit up Tacos El Gordo on the way in, and when we were waiting in line, it seemed like it was going to be the best taco ever, and the whole setup, the way they have them cooking in front of you, looked like it was going to be amazing, but once we got the tacos, it just was kind of like any old taco place. Maybe that's because I'm from California. I don't know. We hit up three burger places. Gordon Ramsay Burger, really liked it. The fries I didn't like so much, but my wife did like them because they weren't too greasy. For me, they were a little bit chewy. Burger Lounge at the Aria. It was solid, and the fries were good. Also went to Holstein's, which I've heard nothing but good things about from the show and also from friends. But when I went, the burger wasn't quite as tender as I would like. It's definitely a thicker burger than what you would get at Burger Lounge. Still, all three were overall pretty good. Went to Julian Serrano at the Aria, and I like eating there, and when the food comes out, it looks really great with the small plates. Thinking back to how everything tasted, everything was just fine, nothing special. Went to Egg Slut, and that was really solid. Liked it a lot, and got the slut dish, which we shared. That was good. As long as you don't go in with unrealistic expectations, I think you'll enjoy it. Where else? Went to Nobu, had some sushi there, which was excellent as expected. It's pricey, but it's worth it. And got the black cod miso, which is one of their signature dishes. It's really awesome, just melts in your mouth. It does get a little sweet, a little rich as you eat it, so maybe recommend sharing it with someone. Real quick, going back to the Gordon Ramsay steak, redeemed some total rewards credits. And I'm talking about Gordon Ramsay steak and the total rewards credits that I redeemed there. I'm not sure if it's common knowledge, but the rewards get applied pre-tax. So if you have a $100 bill, you usually would come out to like $108 or something after tax. But all you have to do is redeem $100 worth of rewards. You don't have to pay the tax. So that was a nice surprise if you have a, you know, hefty bill that can save you some money, which we did have. And then the other thing was the Verbena. Had to go try that. First time in Vegas since listening to the show. First time in a couple of years. So just wanted to taste it. So asked for one Verbena and two Szechuan buttons, which so my wife and I can both enjoy it. And the extra button only cost $2, so that's something people might be interested in if they're just looking to try that drink. And real quick, two quick show reviews. Beatles Love was very good. We were in the last row, but even the last row is pretty low, so you don't have to worry about being too high up. So that was good. And Michael Jackson 1, also very good. It's light on the Cirque du Soleil acrobatics and whatnot, but it's still a very solid show. So that's all I have. Thanks for all you do. Thanks.
All right. Thank you for the thorough review of your trip. Glad you had a good one. Glad you tried a bunch of places. Something he said about Julian Serrano reminded me of a thought I've been having lately.
Yeah.
And I mentioned this to you earlier, but let me run it past you again here for the public. Do you think that as a result of everybody taking fucking Instagrams of their food, that there's too much focus now on food visuals versus food flavor and taste? Do you think that it's affected?
I think people are focusing a lot more on the presentation because of that.
And I just wonder, obviously, I would think the chefs are, they want their food to taste great, but I just wonder if anything is being sacrificed as a result of we have to make this look really great so that it shows up online looking fantastic. I don't know. Or on the flip side, let's not even, separate from the chefs, for us, for customers, is there too much weight put on how food looks online? And does that weigh into considerations of whether or not to go to a restaurant? I mean, I'm certainly guilty of looking at somebody's Facebook page and going, holy shit, that looks amazing. I don't know. I mean,
for me, it's more the description. Because if it has ingredients that I like.
Yeah. There's another thing. I can count on it every time now with another Facebook group thing. Every time there's a picture of Pizza Rock Pizza, there'll be, that looks burned. And then there'll be a whole discussion of whether or not it's burned or not. It happens a lot, and that's another one that got me like, the pizza there is really good. I'm wondering if that visual ever hurts them, or if, I don't know. Like, the fact that somebody would not would maybe not go there because they saw a picture and they thought it looked burned. I don't know.
Max has an opinion on that.
Yeah, clearly. He doesn't really care what the food looks like. He'll eat it regardless. I don't know. Just something I've been thinking about. I obviously haven't fully formed an opinion on it, but I've just, it seems like I get it. Everybody's taking pictures of their food. Yeah. For really, why are we doing that?
I don't think I'm taking as many pictures as I used to.
It's not like...
I used to take pictures of food all the time, like, oh, this is how I want to remember this meal, blah, blah, blah. But it's not like I can lick the picture of the Dupars pancakes and have, you know.
And I question how often people are really going back and looking at pictures of their food.
Right.
And okay, they're putting them online to share, but do they really think that most people give a shit that they had that for lunch today? Or again, is it another, like, look at me, I had a better lunch than you kind of thing? I think everything online kind of comes down to that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Look at, I'm having a better day than you. I did this cool thing. I don't know. Again, I need to be less analytical. I'm just the things that I start thinking about, I spin out of control with these thoughts. All right. Something to ponder if you have any free time, my friends. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see. Where were we? Who did we just hear from? Michael. Let's hear from Chris yet again.
Michelle, quick update here. With my Cosmo stay, ate at Momofuku on this trip, and it was fantastic. Know that it's a weird menu. It's like ramen? What the hell? It is going to be some of the best ramen you have ever had.
Ramen's kind of a thing now. I mean, like, I don't see that. The menu there, there are a lot of ramen places around now. There's a few in Las Vegas, but even there's been some buzz over some ramen places around here, and I haven't necessarily looked into it, but mm-hmm. I don't know. It's not that weird. Don't you think? I don't know. Now I'm analyzing everything.
You he are. Said, it's weird.
It's
on?
Not weird.
The little nice details in the ramen, a nice rich broth, deep brown, tasty. Noodles were excellent. The cold egg in the middle of it was sublime. And one nice detail that maybe some people won't realize, but I certainly did almost immediately, is they will serve it to you rocket and piping hot. And you will need that in order to be able to finish the bowl and not have it get cold. Got a little salty towards the end, but damn, man. That was a really good one-dish meal. Only cost $17. Cheap, economical, and it's going to be the best bowl of ramen you've ever had. Also tried out some of the desserts at the neighboring milk bar. I had the chocolate cake truffles, and they were absolutely amazing. The restaurant will be docked for not having decaf coffee or port to go with those things. So which I thought was just extremely weird. Like, how could you not have natural complements to chocolate lying around? They had caffeinated coffee, but I was running on 3 hours of sleep and I needed to go to bed. So anyway, I am rambling. Momofuku, thumbs up. Also ate at Beauty in Essex. Beauty in Essex was loud, crowded. They split up our order on a two-top table with a delay, which was just weird. One of order came out, and then another order took another 8 minutes to come out of the same thing. And both my partner that was with me in Vegas and I were looking at each other like, what the fuck? So service was very uneven. Food was okay. Like, some of the stuff I could have made at home. Some of it was good. I think there was the tomato bacon dumplings were excellent. And that's all I had on the restaurant review. One last call will be coming up shortly.
All right. Thanks for checking in with that. Should I talk about decaf coffee and my opinion on that?
Sure.
It's not necessary. It shouldn't exist. I applaud Momofuku for not offering it.
Counterpoint.
Uh-huh.
If I have coffee after a certain point in the evening, I am up all night.
And don't have fucking coffee at night.
I also like decaf because you can mix it with regular and have a half calf so you don't become such a spaz. By you, I mean me.
If you're a spaz from coffee, you shouldn't be drinking coffee. Or drink half as much. It's like non-alcoholic beer. What's the point? Coffee.
How about Diet Coke then?
Coffee. That has caffeine.
Yeah.
Soda is just my caffeine vessel. I don't want all the calories. I want the shitty chemicals that replace the calories instead. But isn't the whole point of coffee the caffeine?
For most people.
And isn't the whole point of beer the alcohol?
For most people.
There you go.
But some people like the flavor. I love the smell of coffee grounds. Oh my God.
I'm not a coffee drinker, as you as is well documented.
You've referred to it as bean water on multiple occasions. Not,
it doesn't taste good.
Hmm.
If you have to put like six spoonfuls of sugar in it, load it up with cream and all the flavored shit, then just get a fucking hot chocolate. I get it. It's for the caffeine, though. So have six Coke Zeros like I do. So much healthier. All right. We've got a couple more calls. Let's move along.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. This is Trisha and Michael from Champaign. Well, actually, just Trisha. With just a couple of things from a recent Vegas trip report. We were cruising down the link, I think it was about maybe 8 o'clock. And we heard the timer come on saying the Link light show will happen in 3, 2, 1. And they have some kind of a music light show where the big wheel is coordinated with some of the lights down the street. Not really going to rival downtown light show, but it's there. So that was kind of interesting. They did have a couple of those skill-based tables at Paris. We stayed there for about 4 nights, never once did I see anybody even looking at them, let alone playing them. So I suspect those are going to go away pretty quickly. One other thing I wanted to mention. We used Uber exclusively. Honestly, people, if you're doing taxi still, just stop. Uber, Lyft, easy from the airport and all over. And I wanted to pass along a discount code. If you're a new user to Uber, you can use the code PARISVEGAS50. That's Paris Vegas 50, and get $20 off for new Uber subscribers. So because my husband used it, but I didn't, I was able to download the app, and we got our ride downtown for free. Anyway, have a wonderful Vegas trip, everybody who's going this summer, and I'll talk to you guys later. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Thanks for that. Yeah, so a lot of the hotels offer discount codes. Sometimes they're even on, like for a while, MGM had them on the bottom of their emails.
Huh.
They're pretty easy to find, and if you haven't used Uber and Lyft, it's usually the first timers who get the advantage of discount codes. So you can do a Google search and find tons of discount codes. Most of them are similar, where it's $20 off these days, but there are some others out there too. Skill based gaming, man, that is, I think that has the highest like advanced hype to
success
to disappointment ratio of. Maybe since the park, like tons of hype before it happened. And then when it came out, you're like, Oh, this is it.
Yeah.
This is nothing.
Yeah.
They'll get something right with skill-based gaming, but the current
iteration is not it.
That is not it. Based on every report we've had, pretty much people are just not playing them. Okay. Final call of the week. This is a follow-up to last week. Of course, I did some voicemail tips for people. And then I was commiserating over how much I felt like a dick for giving such tips. Yeah, here we go. Oops, here we go.
Hey, Kevin, Michelle, this is Gary from North Carolina. I'm calling in with a review for a new podcast segment, Tim's Dick Diss. It was my favorite segment I've heard in a long, long time, so I really appreciated it. I would love to hear and see more of Tim's Dick Tips in the future.
Singular, but okay. See what we can do for you.
All right.
I'm glad you enjoy my dick tips. Oh, these are our listeners. All right. Thank you all so much for your calls. I do appreciate it. And we got some karma donations before we run here. Strickland with a karma donation for a last-minute Vegas trip and to apologize for the inevitable drunk calls while he is there. I had a lovely interview. I was interviewed by Strickland and his friend Doug for a podcast they do called Nice Guys on Business.
Cool.
That will be airing sometime soon. We had a lovely chat about the business of podcasting.
Ah.
I waxed poetic for 30 minutes about this and that. Not that much Vegas, a little Vegas talk, but mostly podcast stuff. So we had a good time. It was lovely to speak with them, and I appreciate them inviting me on their show. Mickey from Chicago. He said, my brother, Chris from Chicago-ish. I'm not familiar with Chicago-ish. Wouldn't that be the general Chicagoland area? I used to know a guy who always, whenever he referred to where he was from, he'd say the general Chicagoland area, which I enjoyed hearing. For some reason, it always amused me. Anyway, my brother Chris became a patron 2 months before I did. We'll be sending a joint karma donation when we land. leaving at this very moment and queuing up number 603. Well, thank you very much. We do appreciate it. Hope you have a great trip. Karma donation from David for his first Vegas trip in a year, heading out for 4 days with his wife on the 18th for poker and food.
Hooray.
Hope that's today. Hope you have a wonderful time. Wally and Carol in Seattle, they've been listening for a long time, longtime supporters of the show with Karma donation. Taking my son and daughter-in-law this weekend, 31-year-old first-timer. What? Yikes. What have they been doing? Wait.
Yikes. What they've been doing, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, I can't read today. I know, right? 31 and they haven't been there. Oh, it's time. You need to break them in. I'm glad that you're doing that.
It's never too late.
That's true. You can always fuel the Vegas passion anytime in life. Karma donation from Allison. Thank you very much, Allison. We do appreciate it. And finally, one from Heather. She said, you guys are the best. I love listening every week. Thank you for all you do. Headed to Vegas today. And that just came in this morning. So she's on her way as well.
Thanks to everybody. That was very nice.
I hope you all have great trips.
Yes.
Enjoy yourself and good luck. All right. 500bymidnight.com is the website. You can send Dear Tim and Michelle questions to 500@gmail.com. Of course, you can find us on Twitter. I am 500. She is Anita Martini. And our voicemail line is available to you anytime, day or night, at 702-866-9494. I'd like to commend our callers this week for some of those were from 2 weeks ago, so we had a couple that I had to we had kind of back to back, but some good under 3 minute action. I think people are really taking my dick tips to heart.
I'm glad you like under 3 minute action.
I'm glad you like under 3 minute action. All right.
Do I?
With that, oh boy. Thank you, as always, for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it, and we hope you have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.